I'd like to welcome all of you here to our online worship service for Reveille United Methodist Church. Whether you are a member of our church or a visitor, we are glad that you are with us whenever and wherever you are watching this service. As a reminder, we invite you to light a candle wherever you are as a reminder that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are with us as we worship together. If you would like to connect further with our church, you will see a link at the bottom of this page, and we invite you to click on that link to learn more information about ways for children, youth, and adults to connect with our church. I do want to make one quick announcement. Reveille United Methodist Church, with our partner churches in Swansboro, Koinonia Christian Church, and Love Center of Unity, invites you to a small group discussion that will take place on Sunday, June 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. via Zoom. For a link to the Zoom meeting, you will We invite you to check your emails from Reveille United Methodist Church this week, or you can contact our Minister of Adult Ministries, Kelly Lean. Please join me now as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship the living God with our opening prayer. Let us pray. God of all ages, in your sight nations rise and fall, and pass through times of peril. Now, when our land is troubled, be near to us to guide us and save us. May our leaders be led by your wisdom. May they search your will and see it clearly. If we have turned away from you, forgive us from our sins, O Lord, and reverse our ways and help us to repent. Give us your light and your truth, and let them guide us. And we ask all of this through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of this world and our Savior. Amen.
I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like the waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a temptation. In a sermon like this one, preached on a day like today, for a white pastor like me, from a mainline Protestant denomination like ours, to a white congregation like Reveille, to follow a very well-trod path. This path typically begins with a quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and then makes a left turn somewhere around the Epistle to the Galatians, where Paul speaks of how in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female, for you were all one in Christ Jesus. The path turns again towards a vague statement of Jesus' commandments to love our neighbors, and how this commandment is inextricably linked to his commandment to love God, all before the white preacher reassures the white congregation that hearing all of these nonspecific entreaties on love and unity are all the gospel requires of us, and as such, that everything is going to be all right. I should know. At some point, I've preached this sermon. And yet, that path is a circular path, a road to nowhere. And this kind of response is exactly what got those fiery Old Testament prophets so riled up. So riled up that, emboldened by God, they spoke the truth to power. It is why the Epistle of James proclaims loudly to the early church that faith without works is dead. Preaching is a call to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And today is not a day for us to be comfortable. Today is a day to be afflicted, a holy affliction. Today is a day to be angry for the events of recent history, and especially the recent murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery are exactly the kinds of things that afflict the very heart of God, the God we claim to love, obey, and follow. Now is not a time for a dead faith. It is a time of faith expressed in tangible works of dismantling the oppressive structures of racism and white supremacy in our land. For white people are the ones who have constructed this terrible machine. And as such, we are the ones uniquely called, commissioned, qualified, and required by God to dismantle it as well. Only then can we be truly the light Christ calls us to be, illuminating the dark places in the long shadow of America's original sin. It is a journey of many, many individual steps, yet it is possible, for we are not alone in this endeavor. For into these dark shadows we still follow the light of the world, the one in whom all things are possible. In today's text, the prophet Amos is using God's words as he says to God's people, "I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness, like an ever-flowing stream." Hear these words and see how they are speaking to the church today. Through so much of Christian history, we have confused going to church, and by this I mean attending worship, with being the church, Christ's movement on earth. Here is what I mean. When we reduce church to merely attending worship, it is far too easy for this service to become a show and for our critique of worship to be based mainly, if not entirely, in how it makes us feel. We talk about how we seek worship that feeds us or speaks to us as though we were the audience instead of being the worshiping community who unites prayer, song, creed, sacrament, and proclamation into a sacrifice of praise to an audience of one, the one being God. And yet, as the prophet Amos reminds us, faith and faithfulness are even more than this. Today's text is brutal in its unvarnished honesty. Like a bright red dollop of paint poured upon a stark white canvas, it assaults us in a way that we cannot deny that it is there. In this prophetic passage, God cries out for justice, cries out for righteousness, cries out like the plaintive wail of the myriad voices of the oppressed, the marginalized, the forgotten throughout human existence. From the day the blood of Abel cried out from the ground after his murder at the hand of his brother Cain, to a city street in Minneapolis when George Floyd cried out for help, for breath, and finally for his mother. In today's text, through the words of the prophet Amos, God says to all who will hear, "How dare you? How dare you ignore my mandates for justice and righteousness and then worship me as though you were my faithful servants? How dare you ignore my commandments while singing psalms about how my word is a light unto your feet and a light unto your path? How dare you assume that the sum total of your faithfulness begins with the prelude and ends with the benediction? Keep your music, keep your burnt offerings, silence your songs, cancel all of your festivals. We simply cannot praise God loudly enough to compensate for our silence in the face of injustice and oppression in our midst. When we were baptized, confirmed, or as we joined this church, using the words in our hymnal, we renounced the spiritual forces of wickedness. We rejected the evil powers of this world. We repented of our sin. We accepted the freedom and power that God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And only then did we dare to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as our Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. In doing so, we made promises, important promises, holy promises, the kind of promises that our God uses to bring God's kingdom to bear, even in this broken, sinful, unjust world. Throughout history, God has raised up prophets from within the covenant community to remind the community of promises made by God, promises made by the community of faith. Yet as we know all too well today, promises left unfulfilled by the community of faith. In my previous pastoral appointment, I baptized a man, a little younger than me, named Aaron, who was not raised in the faith and who came to Christianity through his wife. About a year after his baptism, Aaron told a story at a men's prayer meeting early one morning about how his life had changed at his baptism. He told us that his beloved dog had died and that he had very conclusive evidence that the neighbor boys, two teenagers, had poisoned it. He told us that he was standing in his driveway one day, looking across the street at those two young men, and that he could feel his heart beating faster, and he could feel his face turning flushed and his internal temperature rising. He felt himself ready to unleash physical harm on those boys. And then he remembered. As if hearing the voice of God, he remembered having this clear thought in his head that said, "Now you said you wanted to be a Christian. You said you wanted to follow Christ. This is not how they're supposed to act." In other words, he remembered that he was baptized. He remembered that he had personally and publicly promised to be a Christian and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus of Nazareth. He remembered that claiming to love God while hating his neighbor were incompatible. And then he remembered to begin that long and difficult walk towards forgiveness. One of the things that I love about how the United Methodist Church thinks about the world and how we call each other to act is this. We believe in no personal holiness without social holiness. And we proclaim no gospel that redeems sinners without also dismantling sinful social structures that oppress people. In other words, this present moment does not call us to be something fundamentally different than who we intrinsically are as United Methodists. What this present moment in history does do is to call us to faithfully live into the promises we have already made, promises that in our church we renew each and every time someone, anyone, joins our fold. There will always be a temptation to simply regard the issues of systematic racism and white supremacy as someone else's problem, or to deem them as purely political issues while telling ourselves that politics has no place in our church. The problem with this line of thinking, however, is that it ignores the grand sweep of the scriptural witness and the life and ministry of the prophets in our own Bible who spoke truth to governments, who called God's covenant people to remember who they are and are commanded by God to be, and what they are commanded by God to do. Furthermore, to assume that our religion has no place in our politics denies the truth of the death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Son of God, an innocent man who welcomed children and outcasts, who spoke truth to power while also feeding the hungry and healing the sick, who taught love of God, love of neighbor, mercy, and forgiveness until he was lynched by the government of Rome. If Jesus had died a purely religious death, he would have been stoned to death. Yet because he was crucified, we know he died a political death. He was sentenced by political people, and he was killed for political reasons. This is why we confess in our Apostles' Creed that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, appointed by Tiberius Caesar. The great matter before us, the evil twins of racism and white supremacy, also transcend politics. It is a theological issue. Theological because it runs so counter to God's will for humankind, so counter to God's words, so counter to the life and witness of the one crucified and risen for the sake of the world and for you and for me and for the church. And so, as people of faith, it is incumbent upon us to act. There simply is no other faithful path for us to take. We can no longer remain silent. As the prophet Amos reminds us, we cannot worship a God of justice while simultaneously being indifferent to it. We cannot call for peaceful protest and condemn violence and destruction while remaining silent in these days when peaceful protesters are tear-gassed, including in our nation's capital, including here in our own city. We cannot claim to be a people of Holy Scripture while allowing our Bible to be reduced to being a mere amulet in the hands of political oppression. If we do these things, and if we stand by in silence, if we fail to steel our nerves and stand in unity with our African American brothers and sisters, and if we continue to retreat into those dark yet comfortable shadows of America's original sin, we will shroud ourselves as Christians and as the church behind the stained glass of hypocrisy with which Jesus' movement on earth is so regularly charged, all to the detriment of this present generation and generations yet to come. I said there would be no quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., yet give me just one. A well-known quote, but a difficult one, once we peer behind his elegant prose and see what he's really demanding of us. In April of 1963, from the Birmingham City Jail, King wrote a response to a document called A Call for Unity, signed by 8 local clergymen, including 2 Methodist bishops. In it, he says, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be a Christian, means, among other things, that our lives, our fortunes, and our fates are inexorably linked to the lives of others. This is why in Matthew 25, Jesus of Nazareth proclaims that whatever we do to those in need, we have done or not done to him. It is why in our Lord's Prayer, our forgiveness from God is so tightly wound with our forgiveness of others. It is why Jesus' greatest 2 commandments are to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It is why Peter's story, the great Methodist bishop in South Africa during apartheid, says, "When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he nailed us to one another." It is why injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The kind of justice cried out for by God through the prophet Amos. It is the faithfulness that is greater than even our worship, because it reveals the way we know and the way we love and the way we follow the one whom we worship. It is the way of the kingdom of God. So then, as the crowds implore John the Baptist when he called them to repentance, what are we to do? And a link in the description for this video is a dynamic list of many things that white people can do to work for racial justice, to move beyond not being racist towards being anti-racist. Each is a small, doable, single step. There are things to read, things to do, and people from whom to learn. Not everything will speak to every one of us, but at the same time, just because something seems difficult or uncomfortable does not mean it's not the right thing to do. Often the discomfort we feel is actually God shaping us or stretching us, giving us holy growing pains, molding us like the clay on the potter's wheel in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Another thing that we can do is to join together at 6 p.m. on the evening of June the 7th in a Zoom discussion with our partner churches, Love Center of Unity and Koinonia Christian Church, where we can learn how to better be the church together and how we can bear better our witness to the world. And you can find the link for this meeting in our weekly email or by contacting the Reverend Kelly Lane. Yet what we cannot do is nothing. Not if we're going to call ourselves disciples of the crucified Redeemer. Doing nothing is not a faithful option. Each of us has a part to play, and indifference is one of the many false luxuries of privilege. That is, until we remember that we are all tied together to that single garment of destiny, that we are all in this together. Today in our liturgical calendar is called Trinity Sunday, which is always the Sunday following Pentecost. It is the Sunday when we celebrate the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a reminder that even God, by God's very nature, exists in community. The God who calls each of us and who calls the church to do the same. Our journey to racial justice is a long and difficult climb, but it can and must happen. For the God in whom all things are possible has called and commanded us, sojourns with us through it all, until the day comes when justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. It may seem like a dream, but it's God's dream, and as such it cannot and will not fail. This is the God who is calling us to live into the promises we have already made, promises to stand against evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, knowing all the while that the God of the oppressed stands with us, come what may. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There's a voice strong and clear, ringing out far and near. Let justice roll down, let justice roll down, like the rush of a stream, comes a powerful dream. Let justice roll down. Justice rolls down. Let the earth be restored. Every soul be reformed. Let the healing renew. Creation reborn. Here in this sacred space, with the strength of God's grace. Justice rolls down, justice rolls down, roll down, roll down, justice, roll like a never flowing stream, roll down. that justice rolls down. Let justice roll down. Let the vision take flight, and God will delight as waters flow down. Justice abounds.
Today is Trinity Sunday. As we prepare to respond to the words of Holy Scripture and to Doug's proclamation, let us remember that all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are present with us, both here in this room and with you no matter where you are. You can see my favorite visual representation of the Trinity. All three persons of the Trinity are gathered around the communion table. The painting shows how equal all the members of the Trinity are. Normally, on the first Sunday of the month, here at Reveille, we celebrate Holy Communion together. As we say the words of the liturgy, we proclaim, "You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Today, we cannot celebrate Holy Communion here, but we can remember that when we are in the world, the Trinity is with us also. As we lament over recent events in our nation and city, we can also look for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In an effort to promote racial reconciliation, justice, and peace, Reveille will be joining with our partner churches on Sunday night at 6 p.m. in a Zoom dialogue. If you are on our weekly email list, you will receive a link to this Zoom meeting. If you need to, you can contact me, Kelly Lane, at adultministries@reveilleumc.org, and I will send you the link. Will you now bow your heads and join me in prayer? Let us pray. God of justice and compassion, creator of all people, we confess that we have failed to love as Christ teaches us to love. We have allowed arrogance, hatred, and fear to infect our lives. We have injured others, both by the sins we have committed and by the actions we have failed to take. Forgive us, we pray. Gracious and loving God, you continually weave out of our terrible mistakes wonders of goodness and grace. Send your life-giving Holy Spirit to move every human heart. Make the barriers that divide us crumble. Dispel our suspicions. Eradicate our hatred. Heal our divisions. Surround our troubled nation as we mourn and search for answers. Comfort those who grieve, especially the family and friends of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. Give hope to the distraught and inspiration, strength, and courage to those who work for change. Raise up leaders who are led by your wisdom and search for your will. Guide us and our partner churches, Koinonia Christian Church and Love Center of Unity, by your truth and your light. Empower us to serve the needs of others in our community and world while working for truth and justice. Enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of friendship, and show us your presence in those whose experience differs from our own. Until our knowledge of your love is made perfect in our love for all your children, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you now and always. Amen.